Hello, and welcome to the Tideway Holdco Group investor report for the first half of 2016-17. Throughout this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Also, just to remind you, this session is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Andy Mitchell, the Tideway CEO, and Mark Corbin, Tideway's CFO. Gentlemen, please begin.
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning, everybody. This is CEO Andy Mitchell, and as Jerry said, I have CFO Mark Corbin here with me. Welcome to the H1 investor presentation for Tideway, covering the six-month period to the end of September 2016. Having said that, we will provide a few post-period updates of particular relevance, and of course, we are available at the end to take questions on this presentation, which shouldn't take more than about 25 minutes. Turning to the overview on page four of the pack, I'm pleased to be able to report that we have made good progress on all fronts, starting with our high ambitions for a transformational performance on health, safety, and well-being, wherein we have had no reportable injuries in the period. Our one-day entire workforce induction program is attracting industry-wide recognition, and we are seeking to improve things further with that. We have indeed mobilized on our three main tunneling drive sites between 3 and 5 months early, and are still well-placed to meet our target of handing over the commission system to Thames Water significantly earlier than the baseline date in 2024. Our cost estimate at completion remains at 3.144 billion in 2014-15 prices, in line with our regulatory baseline. As many of you will know, we have significantly de-risked our financing plans, having raised just over 1 billion of debt capital since March 2016, with a further 100 million raised post-period end, such that at the moment, our liquidity horizons run to 2022, by which time we should have effectively completed the construction works. Whilst we have started on the civil engineering proper at the three main drive sites, the most visible delivery to date, albeit post-period end, has been the new passenger transport pier at Blackfriars, complete with a photovoltaic roof and double the capacity of the old one that we've now removed. Our first new piece of London has been successfully delivered. Onto the business update on page five. As I've already referred to the progress that we've made on health, safety, and well-being, where having talked to various groups on site, I can see that our message and intent to think differently, behave differently, and get a different and much better result is being heard, is being taken seriously, and is beginning to show signs of having an impact. Being a new company, we've put a lot of effort into getting the right culture with empowered leaders at all levels and getting decisions made effectively and efficiently. Our Tideway information management system is now being implemented, and I have to say, promises at this stage to be a system and approach that is better than anything I have seen to date. We have a structured approach to managing what we call vision, legacy, and reputation in a crowded city. Being very visible and with very high external expectations, it is vital for our sustained progress that we are seen to be and actually are taking this seriously. We work closely with many river-based organizations and events, some described here in the text, to do two things really, to engender support from those active on the river, but also to draw attention to the value of the river to London, which is what our vision of reconnecting London and Londoners to the River Thames is all about. More of which you can see in our annual report, where you will also see our commitment to the STEM activities and more general community volunteering. Looking to the commercial future of the river, we've now got the Thames Skills Academy up and running, and continue to pursue the More by River strategy, again, that we described in the annual report, which has been demonstrated very visibly by the way we've shipped our site offices by river. We've been pleasantly surprised by how supportive the councils and authorities have been, what we call the consent-granting bodies, without whose support we would never have mobilized as early as we have. Our community liaison working groups in all of our worksite areas are now well established as a key component of engaging with our neighbors. To page six, the investment program. As I've said, we remain ahead of the regulatory baseline. We actually now have three of the four main tunnelling machines on order, all of which are set up to be available well in advance of their required dates on site. And the all-important process of giving them worthy names is in good shape also. On our West Drive site, we're up and running with the first section of river wall strengthened, with the tunnelling machine due to be factory acceptance tested on schedule in May. Our next task here is to start the shaft construction to receive the tunnelling machine later in the year. On the Central Drive site at Battersea, this is the double drive site with two tunnelling machines, one going each direction. The main shaft diaphragm wall construction has now started. Both tunnelling machines are on order for delivery at the end of this year. And of course, the old Blackfriars Pier, which is part of the central section, has now been removed to clear the way for the construction works adjacent to the Blackfriars Bridge. For the East Drive site, the first thing we had to do was build out into the river to create the space for our tunnelling operations. The new sheep pile river wall of which we have now completed. Here the site complex has been built and the 300 people from Tideway and the contractors are all now in their new offices on site, and it is from here that they are managing the early works for the Greenwich pumping station site amongst others. Very early in the proceedings, but as planned, our systems integration team have now actually completed the first round of surveys of all of the Thames Water assets that we have to tie into, which is a great place to be at such an early stage of the job. Talking of Thames Water, we've continued to work closely with them on a combined solution to the integration of their Counties Creek flood alleviation scheme with our interception works at Cremorne Wharf. Relationships with them remain good. The new CEO, Steve Robertson, and I meet when we need to, and we're getting on well. I chair the quarterly liaison committee session with DEFRA, Ofwat, the Environment Agency, and Thames Water, where the proposed variation notice for Counties Creek, the Cremorne Wharf site, is being processed. But it's the meeting also where we maintain a general oversight of the program, and I'm happy to report that relationships are working well with those parties too. The total project costs for the six-month period were £163.8 million, taking the total cost to date to £325 million. As mentioned before, but no harm in saying again, the estimate at completion remains at the £3.144 billion mark, as it was when we started. I'd now like to hand over to Mark Corbyn to talk through our financing activity.
Thank you, Andy, and good morning, everybody. So picking up on page 7 on financing activity, over the period to 30 September, we have made significant progress in de-risking our financing plan, specifically in both increasing our liquidity position, which Andy had described earlier, and in locking in financing costs in the current low-rate environment. Picking out some highlights, on the 12th of May, we closed our £700 million 35-year loan with the EIB. The structuring of this loan enables us to lock in our financing costs whilst matching our funding requirements and profiling debt service to the growth in our asset base. And following that, we then entered into a series of hedging transactions to lock in the cost of that loan on an RPI inflation-linked basis out to 2030. As at 30 September, we'd locked in £240 million worth notional value of the EIB loan, and then we hedged a further £240 million by the date of this investor report, and we carry on that program with a view to locking in the rate on the entire £700 million. We've also made substantial progress on our bond program, putting in place a platform and then pricing a series of bonds. On the 2nd of June, we priced four bonds, totaling £100 million, and then we priced a further series of bonds on the 15th of June, taking the total up to £250 million further, taking the total up to £350 by 30th of September. These bonds are all long-dated sterling inflation issuances with deferred purchase dates of 2 to 4 years, matching the financing to our funding requirements. Post-period end, we issued a further £100 million bond on very similar terms. Turning the page to page 8, I'm now going to talk a little bit about our financial performance during the period. We reported a loss of £30.3 million for the period to 30th of September. This loss relates to movements in the fair value of our financial instruments, and we do not consider that this loss reflects the performance of the business. As no doubt you're all aware, we capitalise all of our construction costs during the period into the balance sheet, and as Andy said earlier, costs to date total £325 million, which have been capitalised, made up of £160.12 million in the prior periods, and then £163.8 million of costs during the period. That £163.8 million, if you turn to the table on the right of page 8, is then further split and analysed between allowable costs of £146.7 million and excluded costs of £17.1 million. Allowed costs are those that go into our regulatory capital value, of which by far the most significant amount were direct costs of construction, £104 million, mostly investment with our main works contractors on their design and build contracts, and then indirect costs of £42.6 million, of which the most significant element were resource costs. The £17.7 million of excluded costs, which do not go into our regulatory capital value, relate mostly to financing costs, which are not allowed under our licence. Turning the page to slide 9, to touch on a couple other topics and raise tax. We had no corporate tax charge in the period, reflecting the fact that we do not have taxable profits, where broadly the tax treatment follows our accounting. It's also worth noting that we made a disregard exemption election to Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs in relation to our financial instruments, which means that the movements in fair value are disregarded for tax purposes, current tax purposes. Touching on the cash flow, we had a cash balance at 30th of September of £278.6 million, an opening balance of £130.4 million, looking at the table on the right of slide 9, with cash inflows of £324.3 million, by far the most significant element of that being cash investment from our shareholders in the form of equity and shareholder loans, but also £14.5 million of revenue collected from Thames Water customers and then passed on to us by Thames Water. And then cash outflows of £176.1 million, majority of which £163.8 million being investment in our construction of the Thames Tideway Tunnel. Turning the page to page 10, where we make some disclosures required under the terms of our financing agreements. As I remarked earlier, we have significant net cash at period end, and therefore our senior debt to regulatory asset value ratio is equal to zero, or sub-zero, I guess. That is below the 5% threshold, and therefore we are not required to report interest cover ratios. Thank you, Andy.
Okay, so other reportable matters, management and board changes in September. Angela Rocher replaced Moira Turnbull-Fox as the DIF shareholder director. And then part of my team on the 26th of September, Lucy Webster joined as head of external affairs, replacing Phil Stride, who's now strategic projects director on his way to retirement. Other than those outlined, there have been no other board or relevant management changes in the period. We can confirm we've not made any material acquisition or disposal in that period. Mark has described the current hedging position, which I won't read through again. Short of the confirmation statement on page 12, that's the end of the presentation. So if I can hand back to Jerry to manage the rest of the call, thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads. You can withdraw your question at any time by pressing 02 to cancel. And there will now be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. You can press 02 at any time to withdraw your question. And there will now be a further pause while questions are being registered. And it seems we have no questions on the line, so I'll return the call to Andy Mitchell and Mark Corbyn for closing comments.
Okay, well, just to reiterate our appreciation for your attention this morning. Things are progressing well. We look forward to providing another update at the next point. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
This now concludes our call. Thank you for attending. Participants, you may disconnect your lines.